Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship team. I love your boots. It's like you're saying, Alex, you and I are going to hit the snow. But anyways, so glad you're here today. And we are going to continue our wonderful journey in the Psalms. And I want to share with you that these two particular Psalms are just so wonderful. They're very pointed. I want you to know that even in my own testimony of being saved as an adult, I wasted a lot of time learning many of the principles that are going to be taught today. And also, but my wife lovingly stuck by me in the midst of my foolishness. And then on top of that, I want you to know that there's still a couple I'm still working on. I'm just being honest. This passage is so vibrantly alive. And these sacred songs and these two particular psalms are found right in the center of the Psalms of Ascents, if you look at them within your Bibles. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that they go upward, obviously. But it is, according to tradition, it was something that the Levitical priesthood, that they would actually sing these sacred songs on the festival days. And when the temple was built, it had 15 steps. And they would sing one on the bottom step and then up, 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 all the way up. And Numbers 127 and 128 are right in the middle of that. And if you know, and I didn't know this until I went to school, that much of Scripture, in whether it was Paul or much of the Old Testament, at times is written in a chiastic form. That means it starts with a point here and it goes to a main point. And in my opinion, these psalms ended up being developed that way to where the focal point is here, Psalms 127 and 128. And there's very much parallelism between the other psalms as you back on out. One of the psalms is written by Solomon. We know that. And we also know that, like a lot of people, he didn't quite get what he was writing. He made a lot of mistakes. But you and I have a choice today in our lives of how we're going to walk through them. If you are here today and you are married, they particularly point to you. If you are single and planning on getting married, listen up. This is for you. If you're single and you don't plan on getting married, that's great. But realize the same things still funnel, many of the same things still funnel into the family of God. We can't just say these principles are only for. They are for life. For life. Within Christianity, within our walk with God. And I'm convinced that if you and I would apply these principles, our light would radiate much brighter. Our aroma would be much sweeter. And you're probably asking why I use that term. One of our coworkers at RMC went home to be with the Lord in January. We had her celebration of life yesterday, and she went home to be with the Lord at the age of 41 after a long battle with cancer. And somebody rightfully shared that this woman's life was this sweet aroma of God's grace and mercy right to the end. And they were right. And it is my heart's cry that my personal walk with God would be that. And I pray yours is too. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, As we approach these scriptures, Father, we just ask for your hand of blessing. We ask that our hearts would be wide open to all that you have for us, that we would grow within it, that we would yield our hearts and lives to you in the midst of it. Father, that you would meet with us in such a profound way through the power of your word, because you are good. Because your mercy still stands. It is real. And we can run to it and be forgiven. And you'll just pour out your grace. And so, Father, I pray that today you would grow each of us in your grace, that your word would fall fresh upon our hearts, that it would be very encouraging, yea, maybe even convicting, and that we would just give it to you, that we would truly surrender to the magnificence of who you are in our lives. Thank you again for loving us so much. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 127 and 128, because today we're going to look at a window of faith of godly families, truly godly families. And we're going to look at a number of important words. And I've asked them to put the words up right away so we can see them. First word we're going to look at today would be focus. What is our focus? The second word we're going to look at is treasure. You know, what does that look like in our life? What treasures do we have? What treasures has God given us? The third word will be fear. Who do we honor with our lives? Secondly, after that would be effort. How much effort do we give in life to anything, let alone? Then we're going to talk about heart, reward, and joy, reward, blessing. We're going to look at these things, and we're going to just come away from Scripture today, I pray, encouraged and in a wonderful way as we look at God's Word through these Psalms and focus on godly families. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 127 and look at verses 1 and 2. What is our focus? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. You will eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. And so what is our focus? Is it the Lord? You know, it says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city, we're doing it all in vain. We're doing it in a way that does not magnify him and glorify him. And so what is our focus in doing that? What is our focus in the family of God? You know, is it the Lord or is it not? Do we come here to worship for some other reason than him? You know, even in my lifetime, I have known that people go to church to, bottom line, worship the pastor. I don't know if you have ever seen that or watched that play out, but the reality is some people come just simply because so-and-so is speaking. And that's heartbreaking, because the pastor should be focusing us all on the Lord. Every family should be focusing on allowing him to build the home, focusing on him to protect it. Now, in my walk with the Lord, there were some words that came up and how God dealt with my wayward heart, my wandering heart within my family, to point me to this thought that Christ needed to be the center of our home. And again, it took me a while to come awake. It took me, God backing me into a horrible corner. And I'm so glad that I was broken and humbled before God and chased after him. But these words became a part of my life so I could focus on him building me, us as a couple, and our children. And our son was ready to bolt. He hated Christianity. We were just a bunch of hypocrites, and I was the biggest one. And he was right. And so it was a hard lesson to learn. Listen to these words. Intentional. You and I have to be very, very intentional to focus on God. Day in and day out, we get bombarded by such junk that's out there. We can be sidetracked by so many things. I find today, and forgive me, young men, but I'm going to say it, you know, somehow you guys think that the thought of adolescence goes until you're 30 in some people's lives. And you're gamers and you're everything else rather than focused on what God is. You've got too much fun, too many wild oats to sow and things like that. And God's not built that way. God's intentionalness for you and I is to include him and focus on him at the very earliest age within our walk with him after trusting him as Savior and continue to do that. Therefore, we have to be determined, not only intentional, we have to be very determined. Why? Because there'll be people out there and things that want to distract us. They want to distract us from the things of the Lord. Even after we were saved, Diane and I, the thoughts of we were brainwashed, the thoughts of we now wanted to be Mr. and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes, and all those things because we wanted to alter our lifestyle to focus on him happened. And people bombarded us, relatives bombarded us with those thoughts continuously. And guess what? If it wasn't for determination in our part in wanting to walk with God, we would have given up and gone back to. Therefore, we had to be committed. We're in this for the long haul. We know it's not going to be fun all the time, but if we're going to maintain a focus and allowing him to build, allowing him to protect, to where our strivings in this world are not in vain, so that we could have rest in him, we had to do that. We had to be very committed. We had to be sincere in our walk. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Love one another genuinely within the body of Christ, within those without, you know, loving them God's way. We had to be excited about our faith. If we're going to remain focused at allowing the Lord to do all these things, you and I have to be excited that God is God and he loves us. You and I are his children. You know, our identity, I'm a child of the Most High God. And that ought to tickle us so pink that our God would want to do that with us wayward, wretched people. And love us that much. You know, not just for salvation, but moment by moment each day and be excited. I get to go worship God with everybody else today within our church family and be excited about that. I'm going to be able to sing about him. We're going to look into God's word. I want to meet God in his word. Therefore, the next word, expectant. You know, do we walk in here expecting to meet God? Do we live life each day expecting to see his mighty hand at work in us, through us, and allow him to open up those glorious doors to do things that just bring him glory, to be able to impact others' lives for his glory? You know, God blows me away so many times when I'm just going about life and all of a sudden the door swings wide open and I have a chance to declare who he is. Sometimes I say thank you because I prayed for this moment. Sometimes I think, wow, I don't know if I was living expectantly in this moment, but you did it. And be excited about watching him. The last word to our focus is trust. Sometimes he puts us in hard, hard scenarios. I can't think of a harder scenario. I can think of a couple, but Jason is walking without his beloved wife now because Jenny went home to be with the Lord. Her daughter, their daughter Molly, doesn't have mom anymore. You know, and they're walking through life without that one beautiful piece that was there. Sometimes life is hard, and we get thrown those things, and we can't say why God chose to take her home after 41 years, but we can say this: God obviously had accomplished everything in her and through her that he deemed, and his ways are higher than our ways. But yet, in the midst of being left behind in that scenario, how are we going to walk forth trusting God that his way is higher than my way, and I can continue on? Focus. Focus. Is the Lord your focus in everyday life? Not just on a Sunday, not just when the need arises. And is there real intentionality, real determination, real commitment, real sincerity, real excitement, expectation, and trust and faith in the midst of it? Focus. The next word is treasure. I'll follow along as I read the next three verses in Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, obviously, this is talking about children for a family and wanting them to see that children are a precious inheritance. Now, what does that stem over to for the church? I want us to see this, that the next generation is always important in every church. You know, wanting them to grow up loving the Lord takes all of us. You know, my son and us had watched too much infighting within the church and church splits and craziness. My son and our daughter was in church when somebody went ballistic and somebody had to call the police. I mean, what a great day of worship we had. And I was a focal point of it, though they didn't know who I was. They were calling me by some other name, literally. I got up to take our children out. And this person called me by a different name and told me to sit down and threatened us, you know. And I'm thinking, my son had to sit there and watch that and be a part of that. You know, sometimes we just throw grenades. And so it's here where there ought to be this safe haven for young people to come, to be able to be nurtured in the things of the Lord, to be loved and encouraged to walk his way. Within the home, because they are this inheritance, this treasure that we have, I want us to see a couple of things. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is reward. Man, wipe that out. Delete. The fruit of the womb is reward. I want you to know that there's no mistakes in God's eyes. how do I recover from that? But, but with God, with the pregnancy of anybody under any circumstance, it does not take him by surprise and is meant to be a treasure. Now, we can sit back and say, but what about, you know, you can fill in the blank, rape, incest, all of those different things, and you can fill it in. But from my heart to your heart, I truly believe that life starts at conception and that None of them catch God off guard, and each one of those are a precious treasure in his heart and life and meant to be something for good here for us to help raise. Now, whether or not it's meant to be raised by that mom or not, or that family or not, that's open. You know, sometimes adoption is better, and I know that. But yet to allow each to be this precious, wonderful gift from God as he intended it to be, even in the midst of ugly evil, allow it to be something for him. Notice it goes on, verse 5, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are children of the youth. What? They're deadly? No, what he's saying is that they are very valuable, useful in God's hands. All four of our children are dynamically different. Now, that was a pain. I wanted them to be little clones and like the same things. And, you know, so we had four kids. They all disliked different vegetables. And so it seemed like we could never eat vegetables and peas, all of them, you know. And peas was the number one thing that they all hated, and squash. We forced our first one to eat squash until he vomited it all over us, and then we said, we're not going to do that again. To learn to realize God has a specific plan, a specific plan, a specific plan, a specific plan is cool. And watch God work in their young hearts and lives so that they grow to be the godly man and the godly woman that he yearned for them to be. You know, for me was to, all right, now I need to start paying attention. And I didn't really watch in Stephen's life the way I should have early enough, didn't catch it as fast as I should. But I did my daughters and our daughters to see how God specially equipped them and gifted them for his glory so I could help nurture that here now so that they would grow in that for his glory. You know, and I was so rotten. Aaron, he wants to marry first our eldest daughter. Oh, you and I are going to breakfast. I know why you're here. You're here to ask if you can marry, but you and I need to go to breakfast. And I prayed, and I said, hold on to your seat a little bit, young man. She's my daughter. I said, I want you to tell me what her spiritual gifts are. And his jaw dropped. Well, I know. You're in love with my daughter. You're in love. Yeah, but what's her spiritual gifts? And he spit out something finally. You know, a couple of them were pretty close. But the bottom line is, I wanted him to see that in marriage, those gifts won't stop. And your responsibility as a husband is to direct that, nurture that, and grow that for his glory. She doesn't stop living God's life just because you want her to say, I do. And put it all on hold for your stinking selfishness. Forgive me. Yeah, I was kind of pointed that way. Yeah. You know, a little while later, I sat him down and because I saw some things that kind of scared me, and I go, hey, Aaron, I want you to know this. You're not marrying your mom. My daughter, I think she's going to be a great wife, good mom, but she's a people person. She isn't going to stay at home every day of the week and have the carpet vacuumed just a certain way, supper on the table, just so for the moment you walk through the door. She's a people person. She's still going to be invested at church, in other women's lives, and other people's lives. She wants to serve the Lord. And so your house might look lived in from time to time if God gives you children. You know, sometimes supper will be ready. Sometimes it won't because she's had a full day of doing something else. Can you handle that? You're not marrying your mom. You know, he told me 5 years later, he said that was the best thing that this father-in-law could have told him. because that changed his thinking about life. Because he was hoping he would marry someone like Mom. And he wasn't. And he was still in love with my daughter. You know, those thoughts, they are very valuable, useful in God's hands. God has a plan for them, and he wants to allow them to be his warriors for his glory, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, and they shall speak of their enemies at their gate. They bring joy. If they are raised for his glory to love him and love him alone, to be sure, it's heartbreaking when they turn away and run away from God and don't want to pursue him, and our hearts break and we wonder what we could have done differently. But yet, our whole goal is to nurture them and push them out of the nest, hoping that they will have been prepared enough under our tutelage and God's to be able to fly for his glory and to live for his glory no matter what, no matter where they're called. You know, I mean, and the wonder of watching them do that. When one of our daughters called, she was 26 and she had just gotten back from a wedding of one of her friends, and she's in tears, and these words came mumbling out of her mouth as she cried with her dad, and she goes, "What about me? How come nobody loves me?" She yearned to be married so bad. She was lonely as a 26-year-old, 800 to 1,000 miles away from home, and so away from us, but that was where the Lord had called her to teach and everything. And so we just talked about God's goodness and how gracious he is, you know, because she's God's treasure, committed to me for a brief period of time, us, and we talked about serving God, loving God. What was she doing in her life to reveal that and being satisfied with her Heavenly Father? Encouragement. You know, for you and I, we might not have all the gifts and talents. You know, I've been told, "Well, you don't teach like John MacArthur." No, I don't. I'm me. Sorry, I'm wired the way I am. You know, another guy said, "You look like Chuck Swindoll, but you don't talk like him." No, he's got more stories than I can shake a fist at, you know, and I know that. But guess what? I am who I am, and I know I'm called to be a pastor. And so rather than being sidetracked by that, I'm going to do what God's called me to do so that there is this joy that happens. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak of their enemies in the gate. Wow, focus, treasure, our responsibility here in Ellicott towards our youth and wanting them to realize they have genuine purpose and to be a part of God's plan to grow them in their giftedness once they trust Christ as Savior, to be a part of his plan in the future. Fear. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. I want us to understand that in this fear, true honor always gives him glory. True fear always gives him glory. You know, what does this fear mean? You know, and I don't want to run away from what we were reminded of Thursday night in our men's study. What does fear mean? You better fear him. Yeah, he is the righteous judge of us all. That fear ought to be there. He will judge each and every one of us individually. And within that comes, how do we reverence him in life? How do we honor him in life? What does that look like in your life and my life? How do we hold him in such a place that he has first place in our lives? And if you really look at this verse, you know, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his way. Bottom line, True honor provokes action. You and I have to live an active faith. He wants you and I to be proactive in our walk for God. And again, it isn't something that's reserved for special times. It is something that should take ownership of us every moment of every day. The first thought that I have concerning this action is you and I need to be determined to worship him, determined to esteem him worthy of everything. How many of you have ever heard this statement? I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship him anywhere. How many of you have heard that? Come on, be honest. We all have. I used to say it. I'm on a golf course. I'm worshiping God. Isn't it pretty out here? And then I'm cursing because I missed the putt. Foolish. Oh, I'm worshiping God playing ball. Oh, I only hit it to the warning track. And that yahoo caught it. And I'm cursing, coming back, kicking the dirt. Oh, yeah, I'm worshiping God. Isn't that silly? Now, I'm not saying we can't. You go camping, you go up in the mountains, you can worship God. You don't have to be nailed here every Sunday. That is not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that shouldn't be the predominant thing of our lives, and it ought to be a moment-by-moment thing every day of our lives. Can I worship God teaching elsewhere than here? Oh, yeah. I used to teach. I used to teach junior hires. Oh. Could I bring glory to God and worship God in doing that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I taught math. I love sharing the story. You might have already heard it once, and that's okay. You're going to hear it 9 more times before I retire. But I was teaching, and I introduced fractions. Junior high. I'm thinking the foundation has been laid, and I start teaching, and all of a sudden this little girl over here starts crying. And all of a sudden the girl behind her knows she's crying, she starts crying. And soon every single girl in the class is crying. And I go, help. So shut down fractions, shut down math for the day, try to gain control, and go home and try to figure out something. Why was this so scary that all of a sudden it didn't work? And so Diane and I came up with a thing. I made a bunch of cupcakes, and we filled 2 big cake pans full of cupcakes. And I asked, how many pans of cupcakes do I have? Well, 2, one there, one here. I go, hey, yeah, very good. Over here, how many do I have? 1 pan. All right, how many are in it? They counted. Hey, very good. Here, go ahead and eat that. And I gave it to the little girl, and I knew she didn't have an allergy. All right? And she ate it, and I said, how many are left? And they told me, and I go, all right, so what portion did she eat? And so it was 1/24, and so, fraction. 1 whole in this case was 24 of 24. But why do I say that? Is that bringing glory to God? Yeah. They're now having fun. They're learning math. And I worship God in my job. Whatever I'm called to do in life. When I was a machinist, wanting to do it the best way. If I'm going to honor God, I'm going to do everything his way with excellence, the very best of my ability for his glory. Determined to worship him in everything. I had to learn how to be intentional in prayer. Man, he knows me, and so therefore I need to get to know him. I need to lay my heart bare before him, rely upon him, call upon him, commune with him. Be determined in worship, intentional in prayer, committed to want to please him, wanting to do excellence in everything. Did you know at the end of the day, Lord, whether or not I loved you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, or did I blow it someplace? Did my wife know that I love her with every fiber of my being? Did my children know that I love them with every fiber of my being? And being able to just be committed to please him in every facet of life. Have sincere love for the family of God, for my family. Be excited again to praise him. Be expectant again to see him move and transform me from the inside out, and to trust him in every situation. So if you go back to focus and come back to fear, they have the same verbs and actions if you and I are going to walk with him and in his ways. His word needs to be that. And then you and I will honor, reverence, rejoice in who he is, and he gets the glory for it all. Fear. Don't allow it to intimidate you. It is the biggest outpouring of God's love, grace, and mercy in your life and my life when we start to honor him. He floods over us with the power of his spirit to live within what he has called us to do. I have heard far too many people say, I can't fear God. That means you're still trusting yourself and not the God of glory. Fear. Thirdly, effort. Look at the very next verse, if you would. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. That wonderful expectation, you and I are to be called to be servants of all. You and I are called to be those who truly labor and to provide within our family. We live in a day and time where it's often two providers in the family, husband and wife, and how do you do that? Sometimes the husband wants to do that, but yet it should be done, whether it's two combined and then figuring out home life and caring for children and everything else, or if it is one, God has called us to provide in the family and eat the labor of our hands, that which truly we are given to be able to bless him, to give back to him, to realize those things that he has given to us. So that you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. I love that. You know, labor with our hands isn't just providing food for the table. How many of us realize, and you can not raise your hand, but marriage takes work. It takes effort in a wonderful way. Thank you, David. But it's a reality. So the labor of our hands, in the thought of how much effort am I there? If I am truly putting in a lot of effort at work, I need to also put in a lot of effort at home. I cannot be distracted with the things of life, gaming and those kinds of things. You know, I've never done this, and I'm not saying it's a sin to do this, but this thing of, that happens in football now. You make your fantasy teams, fantasy football, all that kind of stuff. And I had a couple came in one time, and I have a right to share this, you know. And I don't see him. I don't get any time with him. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, well, you know, and began talking through. You know how many fantasy football teams he was a part of? 15. Well, hello. What's your focus? What are you putting effort into? Certainly isn't your marriage and your child on the weekends. You know, you've got a very demanding job over here. hello. You know, some reprioritization needs to happen here for you to be able to communicate, for this to be something that brings glory to his God. I am to encourage the giftedness that my wife has and to allow her to express that, use that for his glory, do that within my children, no matter what. That is what God's called me to do. What's God called her to do? The same thing, to be an encourager to me in every single way. You know, every possible way, come alongside that effort that needs to be put there. Be satisfied within the relationship. There's always greener grass. That's what the world would tell me. You know, I celebrated my 25th anniversary when I'm in school. And one of the guys goes, "You've been married how long?" And to him, it blew him away. And I knew he was married. And he goes, "The same woman?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "How boring." And I said, "You want to bet?" You know, no way. But his thinking was, oh, short-term relationships, and many of them. You know, rather than truly being satisfied within, it takes effort, it takes expression, it takes being connected. It perseveres no matter what life throws at it, and most of all, it celebrates him and gives him the glory. You know why? So that it will be well with us. Work, labor, that when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. It shall be well with you. And to watch, you know, those God stories as they go out and flourish. When I got to RMC, I'm up front for prayer. And this young man came up and he says, "I'm married, I got two kids, and I have no clue what I'm doing." I kind of laughed on the inside because when I had two kids, I still didn't know what I was doing. And I said, "Yeah, what's your prayer request based upon that? Do you know anybody that can help?" And I said, "I would love to if you'd like an old guy. You know, I'd love to come alongside of you." So for the next year and a half, we met at 6:30 with a bunch of other guys at the cafe on a specific day of the week, and we met. And soon he became a part of the men's leadership. God called him away. He lives in a different state last night. And he got a call. I got a call from him this past week. And he goes, "Hey, Pastor Rich, how you doing?" "I'm great. And how are you?" "I'm great. I'm scared." I said, "Oh, okay. Why?" And God's blessed them with another child and another child in the midst of life. And he goes, "We've been worshiping at a Calvary Chapel, and over the course of the last 2.5 years, I've become more and more involved, and the pastor is retiring, and he's trying to groom me to take his place." I said, "Yay!" That's watching him go out and spread the rings. He my child? No, he's God's child. But God entrusted him to me for a while to be a part of what God was doing in him. And I could see a shepherd's heart right off the bat and how he genuinely approached Scripture and dove into it. It was so great. And now God's calling him to this. Oh, he's got a good paying job. It's going to be a change of life. Yes, it is. It will be okay if God is in it, and if you have been called of God. He goes, "Yes, I have, but I'm scared." And I said, "That's good. Be scared. Keep calling. If you don't have anybody there to come alongside, I will be here for you and encourage you as you walk through it. Celebrate him. Give him the glory for it all. This is probably why you were called to this state in this area of that state in your job." And he goes, "I know. And my wife knows that too. And we're excited, but we're scared." And that's okay. Stepping out by faith sometimes is out of the box. And we like to cocoon ourselves, our children. Yeah, and we need to sometimes step outside of the box and walk by faith for his glory. Then it will be well with us. Verse 3, and 4. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine, the very heart of the house. And this is heart. You know, this is specific for ladies. Your children are olive branches and all around the table. Behold, thus shall a man be blessed, the one who fears the Lord. We get right back to that bookend. This little paragraph is bookended with that fearing of God. But notice for that, I want us to hear something. You know, you go back to the Garden of Eden. Day 1, it is good. Day 2, it is good. Day 3, it is good. Day 4, it is good. Day 5, it is good. Day 6, it is good. Until, oh, wait a minute. God goes, it's not good that what? Man shall be alone. It seems like what happened is, as God has Adam there, who was created differently, God breathed into his nose the breath of life. He became a living soul, you know, and the same word that is breathed into him is the same word that's given for the Spirit of God previous. And Adam is going, oh, that's a lion. Yeah, there's two of them, they're alike. Oh, there's giraffe. Oh, there are two of them, they're alike. There's, oh, they're bovine cows. They're both alike, a little different, but both alike. You know, and in the end, it's like Adam says, there's nothing like me. And it's not good that man should be alone. God performs the first operation, gives the first anesthetic, puts Adam to sleep, takes his rib, sews it up, heals it. Only God can do that. I wish my surgeon could. You know, and he presents this woman. He bursts into a sonnet, and he doesn't oogle her. What he's saying is, like me. Two created in God's image for his glory with living souls, and she became Adam's wife. And that is, and so ladies, you are God's perfect complement for your husband. Guys, you need to see that, enjoy that, live within that. Be excited about that, that God would raise up one of these women as different as you are from all the other guys, that she would choose to love you. And celebrate that, God's perfect complement. And she is the heart of the home. That means that there's some industriousness there that goes on and caring for the home. The guy should come alongside as well. She is to be the best friend. I can honestly say, you know, those things about my wife. She, after salvation, my wife became my very, very best friend. And she still is, and she will remain that way. And I love her. She is an awesome nurturer of children, because children then are like olive plants, the sweet, sweet fragrance of God's grace. Diane, you are such an awesome nurturer for our kids, because I was a blockhead so early on. And I thank you. A great encourager. You know, we as men sometimes make spontaneous decisions without including our wives. Now, maybe you never did that. I did that. And yet within that, Diane never lost heart in me. You know, to be able to do those things because of the nurturing and encouraging that she had, her love and respect for me was so wonderful. And if you've gone through love and respect, don't come away with, I don't have to love my husband, I just have to respect him. Come away with, I need to do both. That is what God's called you to as a woman of God in marriage. And if you haven't married and you're looking forward to that, guys, you have to realize and honor her and love her within that. You know, I think through scriptures, and I love 1 Peter 3, you know, where it tells us, guys, that we have to live with our wives with understanding. And I want you to hear this. To live with my wife with understanding, I have to understand her mentally. I have to be a challenge for her and encourage her in her thinking, to hear her thoughts of how she expresses herself and wanting to, how to care for the children, how to discipline. I need to know her mentally, what she knows about God's word, how to go about that. So I need to know her mentally if I'm going to live with her with understanding, you know. I have to live with her emotionally. And we live in a day and time where every single sitcom from Archie Bunker on through seems to downplay that. And that frustrates me. You know, I need to know my wife emotionally. And I'll be honest with you, her emotions dynamically changed 4 years ago. And it's like God gave me a new wife, and that's okay in the midst of that. But yet to understand where she's at, where her fears and frustrations are, so that I, as her husband, can come alongside and nurture that. You know, guys, we think we're good about knowing her physically, but I'm just going to say you're not. You have to have open communication with your wife to even know that well. And to do it for God's glory and allow it to be not just sex, but something that is worshipful and brings glory to God. God's word says, no matter what we do, do all for the glory of God. And so, yeah, I have to know her physical limits, pain, all of those kinds of things, and to come alongside to be able to do that. And I'm forgetting one in my head right now. Mentally, physically, emotionally, oh, and spiritually, duh. Well, how is she gifted by God? What is God's design for her within the body of Christ, within the family, and to nurture that? If I'm going to live with my wife understanding, now, guys, I don't have a corner on that. I don't do all of those perfect, but they have to be a striving in my life. They have to be a striving in your life. And so, guys, if you're thinking about getting married, wrap your head around that. That's God's standard for you. Matter of fact, by the end of the verse says, if you don't do that, your prayers are going to be hindered. I don't know about you, but I want a vibrant prayer life, and I'm going to have to do that. Heart of the home. My wife certainly became the heart of our home, and established that mainly within the kitchen, and it was so good. And I could tell it was because of her fear of God and how I needed to impress upon my best friend and nurture that and encourage that within the home. Verse 5, blessing or reward. The Lord bless you out of Zion and may get it, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. I want you and I to realize that God's blessing is upon those who do these things, who honestly puts effort into their focus with God and walks with God His way in every avenue of life, in every relationship of life, wanting to bring glory to Him. And all I can say is amen. We don't deserve that blessing, but He pours it out. And last but not least, yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. The bottom line is joy, and that joy is a legacy for His glory. Where you and I have the joy of watching these smaller lights, our children, go out and blossom and become beacons for His glory. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians 5. And I know I'm going a little long. Ephesians 5. And look at verse 1 and 2. Oh, you all thought I was going to verse 22 right away, didn't you? Sorry, I'm not going to. Notice what it says as he's writing the church, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also loved us, giving himself for us a sweet offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. That's given to the church, the body of Christ. You know, and his calling is you and I are to be just like the Son of God. I think we call it Christ-likeness. We call it being a Christian. And we ought to do that, walking in that kind of love, sacrificial love for one another. Now, it isn't just the husband that's supposed to do that. The body of Christ is supposed to do that in a powerful, wonderful way, so that the aroma of Ellicott Calvary Chapel is a sweet-smelling aroma to those beautiful little hamlets or little towns surrounding us, so that they know that we love each other sincerely and we love them as well, yearning for them to see and experience Christ in us and through us. Drop down a few verses, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, pleasing to the Lord. Gosh, it is so sad when a person declares, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and yet goes out week after week and lives as lost can be. It is heart-wrenching. God has called us to a different thing within the body of Christ, wanting to reveal him, because he has so graciously called us out of that darkness into his blessed light. You know, I love Colossians. You know, he's transformed us, or allowed us to come into, conveyed us over into the light of his Son and the love of his Son. And there's the fruit of it: goodness, righteousness, truth, finding out what is pleasing to the Lord, growing. Look at verses 15 and following. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Seek the will of the Lord. Understand, everybody's watching us all the time and wanting to remain focused, because we are treasures to God, fearing him, honoring him, putting effort into our walk with him, realizing there is a heart within it that's God's heart, and blessing and joy. Doing that, don't be a fool any longer. Strive to find out God's will for you individually. Verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And there's a rotten theology going around that says that is not the Spirit of God, and that's a lie from the pits of hell. He wants you and I to be so bathed in the Spirit of God and dwelt by the Spirit of God, so that the power of the Spirit of God changes us from within and reveals him honestly and sincerely and genuinely to a lost and dying world, in the midst of our marriages, in the midst of life, and at work. That's what God's called us to do. So don't go out and but allow him and him alone to have control of your heart and life. And last but not least, look at verses 19 and following. Learning how to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, these beautiful psalms. Singing and making melody in your heart. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Father, and to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in fear of God. We're right back to that thought within the body of Christ. And let me say this to all who want to be married, all that who are married. Verses 22 and 31 are going to be rubbish in your life if you don't apply everything that is given to you ahead of time. Your life will be vain. it will be useless. It won't bring God's glory. It might be sweet and fun, but it won't bring God glory. I know it's a pointed message, but yet there's so much in there that would totally, radically change the perspective of the church in the eyes of this world if you and I would see God's truth and want to walk it. I admit, I'm still learning in so many ways. He has a plan. And as the worship team comes to sing just one song, we'll have a couple of couples up here for you to pray with. Where are you at? Are you excited about? I've failed in so many ways, and I'm so thankful there's a God there to pick me up, dust me off, forgive me, and give me the courage to walk forward again so that he would get the glory. Let's stand. Close our time in prayer. Father God, how I pray, how I plead before your throne that these words would impact my life even more profoundly. Lord, I yearn to grow for you and bring glory to you in every facet of life. Lord, I yearn for you to just massage my heart with these truths. Lord, I want to honor you more in my life. I want to put more effort into how I live my life. I yearn to be led by your Spirit, walking in your Spirit, living in your Spirit, so that people know that my joy comes from you and you alone. I yearn for my wife to know that she is a treasure. Our kids to know they're a treasure. Our grandkids to know they are a treasure. I yearn for the legacy of Christianity to continue through the Bailey name. And yet, not only that, Lord, you've entrusted to me now three precious, precious flocks of sheep. And how I yearn that the sheep in each of those little congregations just want to walk with you, love you, be beacons of your glory and love and light in the communities where they are at. Father, I just lay my life before you, thanking you. And I pray that the folks here would do the same. For it's in your Son's name we pray.